Good morning and welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM, the voice of the Tri-County. With me this morning, I am very happy to have Brett Beecham, the theater director at Jersey Community High School. Welcome, Brett.
Thanks for having me, Chris. Great to be here with you, especially.
Well, yeah, great to have you. We've known each other for a while, haven't we?
Yeah, I have to admit, I miss you at George's, but knowing that you're doing this here, I love it.
Oh, great. I love it. Yeah, I miss seeing you, too. We've had a good friendship over
the years. That's right. I agree.
And so how long have you been involved in theater? I mean, I'm not just saying just with the high school, but how long have you had an interest in theater?
Great question. Great story. I was one of those kids who I love sports, but I'm terrible. I have no talent, you know, other than watching. I was encouraged by who would later become my first principal, Bill Church, to go down and maybe do some tech work for the musical my freshman year in high school.
Okay.
And I ended up doing lights for the musical West Side Story in 85. Beth Pressler was the director. Martha Harpstride, who would work with me, was her assistant and did the costuming. And it just changed my life. You know, I mean, it was a life-changing experience for me.
Isn't that great?
Because I found something with like-minded people who, you know, where I could go and I could be part of something that was excellent. Uh-huh. And something that I just loved. I just loved it.
So I guess the theater program had been going on in Jerseyville for many, many years?
Basically, at that point in the 80s, there was only a musical. So it was really under the umbrella of the choir department, which is pretty standard. Helen Corkin was there for years as the choir director. And then when she retired, we had a couple people, then Beth Pressler. And when I was actually a senior in high school, Stephanie Dethridge, who I would later take over for when she unfortunately passed away too early, in 1988 started the drama program back up, and we started doing plays again. And so that was also a big deal to be in the first play.
You were in the first play?
Well, not the first play at the high school, because they had done it for quite a few years, and then it kind of shut down. That's uh-huh. the way education goes sometimes, you know. Some things stay, some things don't. And so she passed away in 1993, and I'd been in teaching for a year. And I got hired to come back and take over in 93, 94, and I've been doing it ever since.
Now, you teach history.
Yes, yes, yes. Love it.
So what history do you teach? I love history, too.
Yeah, I've got U.S. history. I've got three sections of that, which I love teaching. And I started this year teaching honors world history. I got three sections of that, so that's great.
What level do you teach?
The honors world history, they're freshmen, which is really neat. And then juniors, all juniors in the district have to take U.S. history to graduate. So I see a lot of that's a great age group.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
are kids interested in history today?
Yes and no. You know, I mean, I think when they walk in the room, in a lot of classes like that, they're like, especially when they have to take it, it's like, oh, I'm not going to like this. And then I think many of them find that they do. They are interested in it because one of the things I think our social studies program does a great job of is trying to link it to today's world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, right now we're in World War II, but the similarities between what was happening in the world, you know, when the United States got involved at the beginning to now, they're staggering. And when you put it to them in that way, they're kind of like, oh, you know, and
yeah.
then they get a lot more inquisitive. So,
well, you know, the old saying, history repeats itself.
I told him, I said, probably the best quote I've ever heard was, the only thing we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. and I think we could both say that throughout the years. I mean,
with my own life.
Well, yeah, me too. You know, I mean, it's just amazing the things that happen, and you're like, I didn't think something like this would ever happen again, you know.
Right. How about today, you know, with the media and the news, you hear bringing up history in the past. And the kids, do they ever talk about that? Or you?
I do. Then they want to get involved.
Okay.
Because, you know, even kids, I tell you what, here's the thing about it. You know, I mean, I think the older we get, we all think, oh, these kids today, you know. I think kids are pretty much inherently the same as when you and I were their age.
Yeah.
But the world around them is so much more confusing with social media and what they have to. I mean, can you imagine in high school if you would have had social media, or I would have, the dumb things I would have put on?
Just,
you
know, I mean, they're walking around with a computer in their pocket.
Oh yeah,
and they're just so informed.
Yeah, and that's what I try to point out is, listen, check your sources, because everybody has an angle. We don't really have, you know, present company excluded, because I know this station does a good job of reporting and letting the public decide their opinion. Well, news now is really more, this is what we want you to think.
Yes.
And that's what makes it so tough on kids. And I think the media is one of our biggest enemies today.
Yeah, I mean, I've noticed that really in movies, the newer movies today.
Yeah.
You know, it's all...
And Hollywood's tanking right now.
Yeah.
They had a
yeah.
terrible 2023 because they're trying to preach at us rather than
right.
entertain us.
I know. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, for example, today, you know, in the old days, we'd be arguing or trying to discuss, well, when did that happen? Was that, you know, happening in 1946 or 1947?
Right.
Who set the record or whatever it is?
Right.
And now it's just immediately. There's no more just like, I'm right. Well, we'll find out about it. I'll look it up. I'll research it. But now it's just automatic. Boom. Go to your phone. Press it. Boom. You got
it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Kids are
smart today.
Oh, they're smart. And they're really good at reading people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they'll know, you know, they know, I think right off the bat with people in my business, you know, if you're genuine about what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, they can tell pretty quickly whether you care about what you do or not. And that the subject matter may not win them over, but as adults, we can.
You yes.
know, if they know, hey, he cares. I don't always agree with him. I don't always, you know, but I can tell they care, and, you know, they have my best interest at heart.
A little bit about you when you were a kid. So what university did you go to?
I went to SIU Edwardsville.
Okay.
And got my degree there.
And you're a family man.
Yes. Yeah.
Big family man.
My beautiful wife, Melissa, and I have four great kids. Two, really kind of two families. My oldest is 25 now and living in Minnesota, working on her PhD in psychology. And
Olivia?
Yeah, Olivia.
I love
oh,
Olivia.
Oh, yeah, you hired both my oldest kids.
Yeah, I love
Williams
them.
Down at Carbondale.
Yeah, I love William.
Then my twins are freshmen.
Okay.
Anna and Emma are freshmen at the high school, so.
So, question, where did you meet your lovely wife at?
Actually, speaking of my theater, we started dating my junior year during a musical at the high school.
Oh, yeah.
And we've been together ever since.
Well, so where'd you take her out on your first date? What was the moves you made?
I think
what,
we
what
went
was your line,
we
man?
Just we just went oh it was not very good I you know I we went out with a bunch of friends and we went roller skating at Mr. T's. Do you remember Mr. T's in
Alton?
Yeah
the
great we went down there and it was fun.
Yeah, roller skating was
yeah.
a thing back in
and
the day.
I missed that place.
Yeah, okay.
Burned down what about 20 years ago now.
So now with the musical, you got a musical coming up,
yeah.
And you teach theater. What tell me about theater, because
okay.
it's not a regular class, a day
no,
class.
No, it's an after school. It's like we do two productions a year. We do a play in the fall,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, the difference there is just there's no music in it, no dance. It's just people talking.
Okay.
So those are a little bit harder to sell because people like, you know, the
they
singing and
musicals?
Dancing. Oh, yeah, by far.
Oh.
Yeah. Our crowds are a lot bigger for musicals than plays. Now, some people really like plays, and that's not to downplay it. It's just, you know, like we were talking a few minutes ago with social media, it's just hard to keep people's attention for an hour and a half to 2 hours, depending on what show you're doing. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm so proud of my kids, because they're able to do that, you know, by the hours of time they put in.
So a play in the fall, musical?
In the spring, usually mid-March. And right now we're working on a musical called Seussical.
Seussical.
About Dr. Seuss's works. Got the Cat in the Hat in it, Horton, the Grinch, you know, it's pretty fun. We did it in 2012, years ago.
So how many plays and musicals have you put together?
This is number 63.
Wow.
Yeah.
63.
It's a big number.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So just to kind of educate people about musicals and plays.
Yeah.
Of course, you have to rent or buy the play or the music? Or tell me about
that. It's like royalties with music or, you know.
Like ASCAP or BMI.
Yeah, or when, you know, here at our great stadium theater in town, when they – I'm sure they pay a fee to the owners of the film companies. We have to pay a royalty fee also. Plays are relatively cheap. When you get the royalties, it's like renting a play and then buy the scripts for it, probably talking about $1,000.
Okay.
Musicals, on the other hand, are much more expensive. Like Seussical, just to get in the royalties and rent the materials is about $5,000-$6,000.
I see. You do some things to make that money.
Ticket prices. We also usually have we have a basket raffle at each show that we sell throughout the we just had a pork chop dinner that we did really well with in December. We do a grand raffle where we raffle off $1,000, you know, and then ticket sales. Mm-hmm. So,
so this musical that you're doing, what's it about?
Well, the Cat in the Hat acts as sort of a narrator, sort of a bridge between the audience and the actual plot of the show.
He's the main star.
Yeah.
Okay.
So actually a girl, a young lady. And, the plot really revolves around Horton the elephant, who hears the Who's.
Hears the Who's, yeah.
And they also combine it with the other story. Horton lays an egg or sits on an egg because they didn't have enough to do, you know. So they have two books there that they're doing, and then they mesh in the Cat in the Hat. The Grinch makes a couple of appearances in it, and a lot of the characters that Dr. Seuss.
How many kids are involved in this?
I've got on stage about 27 kids, which is bigger than we've had. Last year we had about 20 because COVID just killed us.
Everything.
Most programs.
Right.
We all know. I mean, sports, you name it.
Yes.
And so our numbers are heading back up. And then behind the scenes, we've got about 15 to 20 kids, you know, who do like lighting, sound, paint the sets, you know, I got a great crew, costumes. And then Mrs. Biddles, the band director, is the conductor for the orchestra. And most of our musicians down there are students. So we've got about 20 kids down in the pit. And then we have, you know, Alan Snyder is the woods teacher, his construction class. They build the sets for us.
Great.
Lisa Kolkmeyer's she does the programs and the tickets and posters and stuff like that. So I would say directly in my programs about 70-ish, and then so many more kids involved in this massive production, and many more adults, you know, are involved.
Do these kids that are involved in this, do most of them, are they playing a sport too, or most of them just, this is what they do?
This is mostly what they do. They might, we get some kids who will just come out for the musical and they'll do something in the fall. Spring sports works really well with the musical because we're ending about the time spring sports are starting.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the kids will do that. But yeah, we spend so many hours up there. It's real tough to do other things.
Yeah. I bet, what would you say to kids that are maybe thinking about it, but they're maybe scared because they think, oh man, I don't know if I'm good enough. What would you say to them?
The thing I hear the most is, well, I can't sing. My thing is, well, let us adults be the judge of that. Mm-hmm. To a kid who's really scared of the stage, I always tell them to start with the crew. Mm-hmm. Get involved, get to know the kids. And I have a number of kids who will start with crew and they'll stay because they love it. And those kids are awesome because they don't get any of the applause. You know, they work their tails off and they love what they do. And
yeah.
They don't get a lot.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah, exactly. But I have a lot of kids also who will start in the crew and then they really see kind of how we do things,
yeah,
and then they'll
start
get on stage.
Comfortable. Yeah. One thing that my kids were involved in,
okay,
was the improv.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And we loved the improv. The improv was, I don't know, that was just fantastic.
And you know, it's been so far, we want to get it back. It's been a casualty of COVID.
Oh, okay.
Because we haven't had the kids. But what we've been doing is doing some improv nights after the musical just for fun to get kids back involved.
Uh-huh.
And we hope to get it back because it's been since, I think my son was a senior. No, that was the year it was canceled. So my son's junior year, about 2019, was our last one, which we named after my dear friend Cliff Kaminsky.
Oh.
We called it because we lost Cliff a few,
yes,
few years back. But so that's on the burner to come back.
What's the mechanics of improv? How do you teach that?
Well, for so many years when it was really rolling, we would put 40 to 60 kids up there for improv.
Yeah,
and really, I would do a night or two with them to show them the games. But really it was the kids in the program or the kids who had done it before, like your daughter Katie,
mm-hmm,
who was awesome.
Yeah, she's fun.
And you know, they would pick these teams and then they would meet elsewhere, like at someone's house or someone's garage, and they would teach all the games and then we'd bring them together
so
on that improv.
Tell me about the game.
Okay, so have you ever watched like Whose Line Is It Anyway? When Drew Carey used to host that. I think there's a newer one. One of the best ones is like the dating game.
Okay.
And so you go back to that classic TV show.
You play the dating game.
Yeah. But you give the person who is looking for the date is what we call the guesser. And their job at the end is to guess who or what the three dating candidates are playing. So we may say in a day, like, in an election year, we may have the three potential dates be political figures.
Okay.
You know, like Biden or Trump or somebody like that, or someone in pop culture like Taylor Swift or something the kids are really into. And then as the guesser is asking questions about the person they want to date, the other kids have to act out who they become. You know, like if you're Taylor Swift, you have to start acting without giving away who you are. You can't come out and say, I'm Taylor Swift.
Right.
You might say, well, I'm dating Travis Kelce right now. And,
uh-huh,
and then at the end of the game, they're timed. You know, I'll say to the guesser, okay, who was bachelor number one? And they'll guess or they'll not guess. So
a lot of your students, I'm sure they have such a great time in the theater,
mm-hmm,
and they maybe pursue a career.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have some that have been successful?
We've had, interesting you say that, and I'm sure you know Tom Getten, his son Andrew, was just in a film on Amazon. And I forget the name of it. He was terrific in it. I haven't had a chance
in a bar with
Yes, thank you.
Sitting
thank
in
you.
A bar with cake.
Yeah, Andrew, he's got some lines in that one. I've had a few other. Luke McGuire was in an episode of, it was a show. He actually played a kid who overdosed, and they had to revive him it was a serious role. We've had a number of people who've done commercials, who've done films. Tim Ryder, our former representative's,
yeah,
Tom's son.
Yeah.
Tim was in Second City Improv. in Chicago for years, and now he's a writer out in California, in L.A. He and his wife are writers for various things, comedy things in L.A. And so we've had a few. I've had a couple kids do some stuff on Broadway, and
How about your kids?
Olivia was majoring in musical theater, and she graduated during the pandemic.
Okay.
And the plan was to work in Minneapolis for a while because she was up in that area. It's got a real good theater scene. And again, everything just shut down. And, excuse me, while she was waiting for that scene to continue, she started this work in, she's going to get her PhD in psychology. But she does some professional theater up there, real small stuff, you know. She's gotten paid for a few things, not anything you can make a living on, but she's doing theater up there.
Yeah. So. Well, I think I never had an opportunity to be in theater or play, but I do think who said that the world is but a stage?
Yeah, all the world, Shakespeare, all the world's a stage, you bet.
All the world's a stage. I mean, it is important to be able to perform.
I agree.
You know.
And, you know, it's like we don't have anything in town yet. I think the Jersey County Arts Council may explore it one day, but you got the Alton Little Theater, which mm-hmm. is a great theater.
Yeah.
For adults
right.
who may want to pursue it, or Jerry Seavers in Calhoun.
They do.
Of course. Jerry and
those kids love it over there, and the adults do too.
Our joke is, because I know Jerry really well.
Uh-huh.
His show is almost always the week after mine, and we always, when we see each other, we ask how things are going or what we're doing, and one of us will invariably say. He always say, I'm too busy to go see yours because it's the week before mine and you're exhausted from yours. So and that's true. I've never been over. He's never been over. But it's because we're doing the same work at the exact same time. But I so love and appreciate what he does over there for that community.
Oh, yeah.
And Calhoun loves it.
They do. They love it.
And I've had kids. I've had kids who've been in it. I've had friends who go over there. And
I've had nieces and nephews have been in it.
Yeah.
And even some adults.
Yeah.
They're ready to have been in it.
I'm amazed at what they do over there. I love what they do over there.
Yeah. They have fun. Jerry's really good at
it. Oh, he's the man.
Yeah.
He's the man. Yeah.
Yeah. How many years are you going to continue this? Are you getting?
I have one more year left after this year before I retire.
No.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
We're trying to figure out what last play and last musical to do. We haven't yet. But the good news.
Yes.
Speaking of the Calhoun link.
Yes.
A former student of mine who used to teach in Calhoun now teaches at Jerseyville. Her name was Kara Yates. Her name's Kara Rojas now. Uh-huh. Is going to take over as the theater director when I retire.
Yes.
And I'm going to stick around and I'm going to help her. I'm going to volunteer and things like that. But this year she's doing the music for Seussical, but eventually, because she teaches Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Her husband is from Guatemala, Luis, who works at Carrollton Bank up in Carrollton. And so Kara is a great Spanish teacher at the high school, but she was in my program, and she graduated in 2004, and she wants to take over, and she's working with me now, and, you know, that's the thing, too, is I really, my philosophy is surround myself with people who are a lot smarter than me and kind of let them do their thing, so Kara's doing
that.
That's
a good way to lead.
Martha Harpstra, you know, who taught me everything I know, still uh-huh. helps a little bit, but... Genevieve Mossman does all my costuming and the set design. Natalie Beidel, who now is Zadolik, she's the choreographer this year, does the dance stuff. And so it takes a huge team of adults to put this together.
Well, maybe, you know, when you retire and you get a little bored, maybe you'll head up an adult theater.
Could be. Could be. That's the thing.
I'm sure
I would certainly help. You know, certainly like to see him get it started.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there. I think even you, I could tell, you would be great. We'll get you a role on stage.
I'd probably be back in the back behind the scenes building stuff.
That's true. You could do that too. That's true. And that's a huge part of it, having people who can do that for you.
Well, I tell you what, you have been a blessing to the community. Oh. And thank you so much for educating all the kids and really, you know, helping them develop and helping them have a personality and become, you know, what they are today. I mean, you've been a big input for them, so big asset.
Well, what I would say is the best thing for me is getting to come back and work in the community that gave me so much. Mm-hmm. As a, you know, I loved going to high school here and all my years here, and I just love, like you, you know, and that's what attracted, I think, our friendship is how much you care, even though I know you're originally from Calhoun.
Well,
how much
not
you
from Calhoun.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well,
I didn't know.
I mean,
this.
No. Actually, I was born in Jerseyville,
of course. Oh, okay.
Jerseyville Hospital, and well, my parents are from Jerseyville.
Okay.
And I've actually lived in all three counties. Green, as a child, Green County, then.
I didn't know that.
My dad, he went to Hardin to become an electrician, you know, to work,
uh-huh.
start a business
yeah.
over there because they needed somebody.
Yeah.
And then, but he worked a lot over here too in Jerseyville over the years. And then I just came here, you know, because just, you know, it was a bigger town and it just seemed like there was more going on.
Well, and you could tell you love it.
Oh, I love it.
You know,
I love it and everybody I know loves it.
I know.
Everybody loves it.
It's an amazing community. Heck, I remember when I was a kid, first time I ever met your wife was when she was working at Sinclair's East over there at for Stanley and
me too.
Bev and
first time
and,
I met her.
And Gordon Metzler.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this and people like Stan, like you, who love this community and just that's why it's so great to live here.
Yeah, it's great. Well, thanks again for coming in, Brett. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And,
I'm honored.
Yeah, good luck, and we'll see you around.
You bet, buddy.
All right, take
care. Go get him. Thanks.